didn't know what exactly to expect. And I was blown away in a good way. I was like, I bet I need to get used to this kind of music if I move in here. But it was a blessing. I absolutely enjoyed it. When Pastor asked me what I was going to preach tonight, I told him, and he kind of chuckled and he said, well, actually, I preached that last week and I'm preaching it this morning too, but we're going to come at it with a little bit different approach. So we'll be in Philippians chapter 2 again. It's just funny how the Holy Spirit works like that. We did not plan that, but you're getting a three-part series. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be in verse number 3 to begin with. I've had the privilege of working for the mayor of my city for the past year and a half or so. And his name is Rex. He's a mayor, but he's also an attorney, and he has his own law firm. So from the world's perspective, he's a very successful man. He has multiple houses and very nice cars. And he's just, from the world's perspective, he's like the image of success. And I had the privilege of driving with him to the airport on multiple occasions. And when you drive with Rex, you just never know what he's going to say. One minute you could be talking about astrophysics. The next minute you could be talking about the city or the politics. It's all over my head, but like a polite assistant, I just nod and I say, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there's one particular time I'll never forget. Just out of the ordinary, out of the blue, he said, the missing key which unlocks greatness is, what would you say? From the perspective of a multimillionaire businessman and who has a law firm and a mayor, what would you say the missing key to unlocking success and greatness is? What would you think he said? Someone shout it out. Work. Anybody else have a suggestion? Relationships. Ambition, closing the deal. That's a good one. He probably knows how to do that. He does. But to my surprise, he did not say any of those. He said, the missing key which unlocks greatness is humility. I was taken back by that, but I believe that's very true. But more importantly than unlocking some sort of secular definition of success, I believe the greatest and missing key which unlocks revival and a relationship with God is humility. 2 Chronicles says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. We see humility as the first stipulation to a renewed relationship with God. I believe the missing key, relationships with God and a revived church, is humility. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I believe if we're ever going to attain the spirit of humility, there's three stepping stones that we must get to. Three stepping stones to get to. If we're ever going to accomplish or obtain a spirit of humility that God desires and is so critical in the church today. The first stepping stone I see is we need to realize God hates pride. Verse 3 is a clear command. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is pride in oneself or one's accomplishments. If we took a true or false quiz in here, and the question is, does God hate pride? I think a lot of us would check yes. Everyone knows that God hates pride. It's mentioned 22 times in the Bible. God clearly states, God hates pride. We all know that. But why does God hate pride? We know it's a sin, but why is pride a sin? Pride is a sin because it opposes God's character. Verse number 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to see outlined the character and the person of God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Jesus, who went to the disciples and washed their feet. Creator of the universe, humbled himself to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus became a servant who took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, and that Jesus embodies, and his character is humility. When we have pride in our lives, it almost spits in the image of God. When we have bitterness in our life, I thought this was about pride, but bitterness is thinking that you deserve something better than you got. So you're going to hold that grudge because how dare they treat me this way? I should have been treated better. So you're holding on to this spirit of bitterness, but at the end of the day, it's pride, and it opposes God's nature. Spirit of entitlement, which says, I deserve better than I have. A spirit of discontentment. All these things that are so susceptible in today's culture oppose the nature of God. We need to realize that God hates pride. I believe the most prominent example of pride that can be seen in the Bible is in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, 12 says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. We'll never obtain a spirit of humility if we first do not realize God hates pride. Because God hates pride because it opposes his very character. Our first stepping stone is realize God hates pride. Secondly, we see we must remember what we deserve. Verse number three says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I believe that one sin is enough to send us to hell. All it takes is one sin. One sin is enough to send us to an eternal hell. And we think about the countless sins that we do on a daily basis. It brings us to a point of realizing what we deserve. Then we realize that God showed us his love to us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the whole reason that we celebrate Easter. We celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I heard a song last week and the lyric goes like this. Some are known by great authority, for kingdoms as far as eyes can see. In royal robes they rule from thrones, waging wars they overthrow the weak and call it victory. My king is known by mercy. My king is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves, my king is known by the cross. My king is known by an empty grave. Oh, in all that he does, my king is known by love. When we realize what we deserve, the depths that Jesus Christ came pay for our sins, it brings us to a point of utter humility. Reflecting on the cross takes our bitterness and unforgiveness. And it reminds us that if God forgave us for our great sins, then we can forgive others. I believe that's the greatest lesson on forgiveness. Reflecting that God forgave me for all my sins. So how can I not forgive others for the injustices that come my way? Reflecting on the cross takes our entitlement attitude and reminds us the only entitlement that we had, that we deserve the cross. Reflecting on the cross takes our pride and reminds us our lowliness. Romans 12:3 says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly as he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. How do you view yourself? Do you view yourself on a pedestal above? You shouldn't. You see, when we reflect on what we deserve and we realize that God hates pride, those two will propel us to the next step. The third step is that we must redirect our attention. Verse 3 through 4 says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes open, but look directly down at yourself. And don't look up until I tell you to look up. So just right now, just look directly down at yourself and don't look up. Right now, I'm going to ask an elderly lady to come up to the platform. Her husband died a couple years ago. She lives alone and she's so lonely. All she's looking for when she comes to church is just a friend who will step out of their way to be friendly. Do you see her? I'm going to ask a fifth grade boy to come up on the platform. He comes to church every week and he has to get a ride to church because his dad doesn't care enough to drive him. He comes from a verbally abusive home, and every Sunday he comes to church and he's just looking for someone to show him a little love. Do you see him? I'm going to ask a teenager to come up here. Teenager who goes to public school every week, is bullied, who's suffering from depression, wonders if it's even worth it to keep on going. And he comes to church and he's looking for encouragement and a reason to keep on living his life. Do you see that teenager? I'm going to ask a cashier to come up from Walmart. This cashier stands there at the door and at the cashier every single day, not saved. They're on their way to hell and they need the truth so desperately. Do you see them? Oh, everyone look up. Obviously, there was no one of those four people who came up to the platform, but every single one of us crossed paths with these people. I think we have the same mentality that we just had, that we're so focused on ourselves, we're so focused on our agenda and our plans and our priorities that we never bother to look up to see the need. We never bother to look up to see the teenager who came to church, who's suffering from depression, who needs a friend, or the elderly person who's so lonely. We never see the need because we're so focused on ourselves. Matthew 9:36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." When Jesus saw the multitudes, and I'm afraid that we never get to see the multitudes, and we never get to see the needs because we're so focused on ourselves. I'm so thankful that Jesus looked on our needs. I'm thankful that he saved us from hell. Here's your attention. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day mentality of, I have to do this, this, and this. And we go through the motions, but we don't realize that there's people that we interact with on a daily basis that need Christ. We have our ministry at church. We have our kids' ministry. We have the choir ministry. We have the greeting team. And we have all these ministries, and we're so focused on accomplishing and checking off the boxes that we never see the people who actually pass by. If we're ever going to obtain a spirit of humility, it's only going to come when we stop looking at ourselves. We redirect our attention on others. While the world will tell you, get to the ladder, to climb the ladder of success, you need to push others down. You need to climb so aggressively that your main goal in life is just to get to the top. The Bible says we should grab on to the lower rung of the ladder. That's what Jesus did. He came to wash feet. He came to minister others. And he came to be a servant. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. When you decide, grab on to the lower rung of the ladder. Be the servant in the background that no one will ever see. Minister without recognition. To put aside your bitterness and your unforgiveness and discontentment. When you decide that you do not matter, and the only thing that matters is God and others, when you hang on to the lower rung, God does something incredible. God takes that ladder, turns it upside down. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Where are you on the ladder today? If we look at the example of Jesus, we see this proven. He humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant. Let's look at verse number 9. It says, after he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Where are you climbing on the ladder? Are you devoting your energy today to get to the bottom? Are you looking for ways to serve? There are so many needs in this church family that no one even knows about. If we were to go around each and every person and displayed on the screens would be the biggest burdens in their lives, I think we would be very shocked. Say, I never knew they were going through this. My point to say this is this, that you can't encourage the wrong person. You can't serve the wrong person. With how great of need this world has, we need to be focused intentionally on serving others rather than serving ourselves. I believe this church has its brightest days on the horizon. I believe that God is going to do something incredible with this new building and with the new property. I believe this church is going to rally together and give and see a building put up to the glory of God. It's not going to happen if we're focused on our needs. Nothing great for God happens without sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time, of your money. Nothing great will ever come if we're so focused on ourselves that we don't see the needs of others. Challenge is simple. Look for someone to serve this week. Look for someone to be a blessing to this week. It does not have to be something huge. Let's model the path that our Savior provides for us. And let's look to serve others. Everyone with their heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you would say, you know, Brother Reese, I've been focused on my agenda, my needs, that I haven't bothered looking up to see the needs of others. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Or put your hands down.